Well, good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
What a tough week, huh? Many hopes dashed all at once, several days. It's not on? Maybe it was on. How about now? Does that work? Good. That means you were listening to me singing? Thank you for being gracious. Just in reference, and I'll get to it a bit later, part of the sermon, but if anyone wants to understand the seeds to the Supreme Court decision this week, this is the book. You can come up and look at it afterwards, and to really have a conversation about that decision, this we need to understand, and this is a good book to help us understand the meaning of what it means for a corporation to have civil liberties and to be considered as a human being. And for us Unitarian Universalists that have worked for 500 years to develop a democratic society and a free society and a society that's tolerant of a variety of religions and a society that believes in the separation of church and state so that church doesn't dominate state and impose a spiritual imperialism, and to keep those things separate and in balance, that was an important decision made this week for some of us to throw that out of balance. And some people might call that a political decision. Some people might call it something else. But for Unitarian Universalists, it begins to intrude upon what I consider our sacredness and our sacred space. It begins to intrude upon not political life, not really, in a way, social life. It does that, but it begins to organize our culture about how we are going to be in our culture, how we're going to exist, and how we're going to think. Recently, I have been talking about, and we have been discussing the sense of the sacred, and I have introduced four paths to inner transformation. Those four paths were the cultivating the ethic of the other, radical obedience, letting go of the blocks that hinder our true self-expression, answering phone calls timely, and the interpersonal intentionality of paying attention to the space between us. And as I go through today, ask for your forgiveness. I mean, I work to try to center myself to come with a single voice. But because of this week, in my own reaction, I have a sermon I prepared, and I've worked to prepare a calm, logical, sequential following, which some of you know might be difficult for me anyway. But the intrusion of this decision that affects our land and how we're going to live in our land keeps trying to get in. And when it does get in, the space between me and the Supreme Court gets hysterical. Or depressing, or I feel like quitting, or I feel like going to the streets, or I feel like saying, excuse me, to the Christian right, to the conservative Christians, my hat's off and congratulations, because since 1970 you have moved in the direction to get particular people in office that has resulted in this Supreme Court decision. Congratulations. And I want to tame that part of myself. And part of me said, don't even say that. But part of me said, well, that is the truth. And what am I going to do with that? So as I speak today, I'm working not to be divided, but that's the other side of me. My guess is that's the other side of many of us, trying to find our bearings again. Today, I'm going to attempt to answer these questions. For Unitarian Universalist. What is sacred? What do we do with the sacred? And what is the highest Unitarian Universalist spiritual calling? The aspect of the sacred that I have introduced with those fourfold, with that fourfold path of inner transformation, was the idea that the classical picture of a mother breastfeeding an infant, the infant psyche resting in its body, and that little body resting in the arms of that caregiver, and there is peace. What is supposed to happen on this planet at that moment in time is happening. That is, for me, the ultimate model of sacredness. It is what ought to be happening for what it means to us to be part of this interdependent web of existence. It is the space between the mother and the infant, and eye-to-eye contact. It is, in a way, perfection. Perfection. When our spirits can rest in our bodies and we experience life that way. That is the sacred space. That is how we understand and talk about the sacred space. How do we create a space for us to live in that comes out of that model? Several years ago, we began the conversation of creating an eighth principle for Unitarian Universalists. And that eighth principle was the first principle, and that would be, how do we work together to create an emotionally safe environment for us to practice our seven principles and for us to develop who we are, our truest selves, within this congregation. And without a sense of emotional safety, I know that does not happen. That we have to have that sense of emotional safety for our truest selves to emerge and to speak and to feel okay about who we are. And when that sense of emotional safety is not here, there is an absence of the sacred. And it doesn't mean that we don't confront serious issues. It doesn't mean that we don't get uncomfortable with one another in the conversations we have. It doesn't mean that we don't bring up tough issues that we have differing opinions on. What it does mean is that when we engage one another, that we have a sense of emotional safety, that we're not going to be personally attacked, that I'm not going to be rejected for what I say, that I'm not going to be asked to leave the community for what I say, that as I participate in this community, my voice has meaning and I'm going to contribute my voice to the conversation of this community. And I am confident that when I do that, even though I'm in the minority of what's being said, that I am still welcomed in this community, that I have a sense of emotional safety. Then we bump that out a bit. And when we read our seven principles, we read these principles that are dear to us and that we consider, I think, either sacred or the summation of our ideal as far as our community and the larger community. And that is the right of consciousness and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and our society at large. What I'm calling sacred is a space. A space that we can evolve, a space that we can unfold in, a space that we feel emotionally safe in, a space that our voice is heard, not just in here, but in the larger parts of society. It's a space. It is a sacred space. It is something Hank touched upon today when he said, when I leave this summer, you hold this space for me so that when I return again in the winter, I can come back and feel welcomed and have a sense of belonging and enjoy my life as a Unitarian Universalist and as a person among friends. You will hold this space for me, he said. You will hold this space for me. That is what is sacred, is that space. What happened this week in the Supreme Court ruling is in some way maybe the summation or the bluntness for who we are to say that corporations, it's not all corporations, there's a group of corporations that are against this decision, so it's not all, for the Supreme Court to say to a corporation, you are as a human being with flesh, with full rights, and you can take as much money as you want and contribute to the political process. Now, I know I don't have enough money to counter the voice of that citizen. Justice Stevens, in the dissenting remark of the Supreme Court, said, well, why don't you just give corporations the rights to vote? Because in essence, you have. And we may think that's an oddball idea, but in, I believe it was Singapore, corporations do have seats in the legislation, in their government. So it's not so odd. What that means is, in terms of who we are as Unitarian Universalists, the practice of our principles of a democratic society shrinks. It gets smaller. There are fewer places where our voice could be heard. When I was thinking about this morning, I thought, well, okay, what does that mean for mass communication and mass media? And I thought, well, when was the last time I heard a religious voice on television that represented the values of the Unitarian Universalists? When was the last time I heard a religious voice on talk shows that represented the values of a Unitarian Universalist? I can tell you, I don't have that memory. It's not there. And then I thought, that space is smaller yet, isn't it? Where we can practice our democracy. How many of us have feared the loss of our democracy before this Supreme Court decision? Many of us. What that means is that sacred space, that space that our faith ancestors and that I believe we are called to maintain through time, is shrinking, is getting smaller. We are being pushed upon. I can remember having a conversation with a couple. I came into the Unitarian Universalist community in 1996, and so I started asking about, my initial thinking was, how wonderful this is. Oh my goodness, you know, you can say, not say exactly what you want, when you want and everything, but you contribute to the conversation, and I put that to the test down at the church in Vero. I said to the minister, I want to have a seminar on, do the workers need a voice? And I had seminars on relational stuff, but I was going to put Unitarian Universalists to the test. Can in a church I bring in this social justice issue? And Don Von Forrester said, well, sure. You're welcome. Bring it in. That is part of who we are, the social justice issue. Bring it in. So it was a marvelous discovery for me to find this Unitarian Universalist community where I could be myself without fear of my spiritual belief system changing, which would cause me to be rejected. A marvelous place. So I began to talk to some of people who had been in Unitarian Universalist circles for years and years and years. And I was also very familiar with Southern Baptist takeover in 1970 and that religious movement getting very, very political and how they became very aggressive and made a decision to enter into the political arena. And then talking to some Unitarian Universalists, at the same time, this religious group's moving into the political arena, expanding their sacred space, that's their sacred space, expanding their sacred space, several Unitarian Universalists said to me, well, we don't proselytize, and we made a decision that people on their spiritual journey will find us when they're ready to find us. And I'm thinking, no, John Adams, Jefferson, they did not withdraw to creating a place and space, but the Unitarian Universalist community withdrew in a way. And I heard that more than one place. I was coming from Baptist circles, evangelism, proselytizing. I mean, that was my religious gear. And I was just taken off guard by that. But we cannot do that anymore. We cannot do that anymore. That has been, if that is true across the board, which I don't know, but if that is true across the board, that has been a very costly decision. The Unitarian Universalist principles are the foundation of this nation. And when you look at the Socinian community, and when you look at our faith ancestors, what they did was they came up with some ideas in the Reformation, separation of church and state, religious tolerance, and they held those ideas in the space of their mind. And then they took their lives and dedicated to their lives to creating that space where they lived, and they pushed out and they created the space in which people could live with those values. And then they held that space in their hands and they gave it to the next generation. And after that generation, if you look back at that time, there were forces that squashed that space and closed that space. And when you read that literature, you can see where the Unitarian Universalists scattered and fragmented, but their literature went out. And then you see pockets where it happened again. And then you see pockets where it happened with William Ellery Channing, John Adams, Thomas, the Abigail Adams, the founders of this nation. You see that space opening up and happening again. They passed that through time under persecution till in time there was a way in which that could become a dominant way of life, tolerance of religious views, an organization of a society that was mindful and respectful of all. And even though originally it still discriminated within the language of that, gave birth to a freer society. Our faith ancestors held that space in their hands and said, we are willing to dedicate our lives to make sure that space goes to the next generation, because it is sacred, it is a value, it is the right thing to do. I believe it is our highest spiritual calling as Unitarian Universalists to stand in the temporal line, to stand in the narrative of our faith ancestors, and to become that group of people and those persons who will be one day somebody else's faith ancestors. That it is our spiritual obligation and our spiritual responsibility to say, yes, I will partake in taking that space from this generation's hands, holding that space with some sense of sacredness, some sense of responsibility and dedication, holding that space, living in that space, promoting that space, sustaining that space, offering others invitations to come in and experience it for themselves, and one day hold that space here and hope and pray there are others coming after me that will take that space and carry it on through time. The title of the sermons, Does the Sacred Move? Does sacred space move? Yes, it moves through time. And it only moves through time when there are a group of people dedicated to it that are willing to hold it in their hands, hold it in their lives, live in it, promote it, talk it, and hand it over and hope and pray the next generation will take it and do the same. Our highest calling as Unitarian Universalists is to live in that space, dedicate our lives to that space, hold that space, and pass it on to another. We got a small picture of what that looks like and feels like in Hank's conversation up here today. There's another generation that's coming after us, that's asking us, is that space, those values, that way of being in the world going to be available to us? We have to answer that question. That next generation is saying, are we going to experience that tolerance, that sense of democracy? Are you holding it strong enough that it'll make it through? We have to answer that question. Not verbally. Behaviorally, with how we spend our time in this life, we are answering that question. I hope and pray our answer is a resounding yes.
as it has been in recent past and will be now and will be in the future. So when the next generation and the next generation speaks, they can say, those faith ancestors at UUCB stood when they needed to stand, came together when they needed to come together, and held tight and held together so that we now stand in this place and can be Unitarian Universalists.